Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Talladega, you're in the pit stop with Tenda Spain and Stephen Wilson on the Speedway Digest Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, and your Apple Podcast.
I'm Daniel Hammer, driver number 14, California Clean Power Chevrolet. You're listening to the Pit Stop with Tenda Spain.
Good evening, Dega Nation, from Talladega, Alabama. I'm Tim Spain, alongside my good friend and CEO, SpeedwayDigest.com. Let's bring Stephen into the pit stop, man. Let's get everything going. Got a little bit to talk about. I know we don't have any racing left, but let's bring Stephen
in. Let's get ready to rumble!
Stephen, I know you're a little bit jealous. I went south for the weekend. Stayed a little warm. You said you was cold. Said you had to build fire out of paperwork.
I did. Yeah, y'all got to go down there to the Gulf Shores, and I had to stay back up here in the rain and the cold. I'm jealous of you guys.
I know you were. Yeah, me and you were tweeting back and forth. But Steve, I know you know we've got some. You have some breaking news out of NASCAR, some stuff going on, and some late silly season stuff going on. Let's bring you. Reverend Joe, let's go ahead and get the invocation going. Let's bring Reverend Joe on the pit stop. Tim Spain and Stephen Wilson. Reverend Joe, how's everything out there on the West Coast, bud?
Well, we're doing good. We're doing good. I got a bit of a cold or head thing or something going on, so my voice is a little scratchy, but otherwise I'm doing fine.
That's good. So, Y'all get settled in, okay?
Well, we're getting settled in, though. I did it totally backwards, you know. I've got a home in California and now a place in Washington, and I should be spending the summer in Washington and the winter in California, but I'm doing it backwards. What can I tell you?
it don't matter, Reverend. You got the floor, bud. Let's go ahead and get everything started.
All right, let's get started. Lord, we come before you today. We thank you for the great racing season that just concluded. We thank you for the minimum of injuries and troubles, and the people who did have problems recovered well, and we thank you so much for that. We ask you to please watch over all those traveling to the big event in Las Vegas with the banquet and all the celebration going on there. Keep them all safe and keep them out of trouble. Be with us all. Guide us all through the off season. Most importantly, Lord, please watch over our troops, our leaders, and all those involved in directing our country as perilous times are ahead. So be with us all, and we thank you, Lord, for the fact that we have all this freedom because your Son, Jesus Christ, came and died for us so that we would have entrance into heaven. We thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen, Reverend Joe.
Thank you.
Reverend Joe, as always, a great invocation. I just want to throw this at you, Stephen, and I sort of talked about this. Our last show of the year is going to be Tuesday night, December 15th. We're going to maybe do like a little roundtable discussion on some of the ups and downs of the 2015 NASCAR season, the trucks, Xfinities, and also the, you know, Cup, of course. And I'm about 98% sure I've got Jerry Barnkowski, and I think Steven's got somebody he's going to work on. So just want to let you know about that last show. You know, we're going to take 2 weeks off from Christmas and New Year's and start back up in January. I just want to let you know if you would like to stay on with us, and, you know, we just talk about, you know, the goods, the bads, the ups and the downs of the 2015 NASCAR season.
I'd be honored to do that. That sounds like a lot of fun. We'll mark that on the calendar for the 15th.
Okay, mark it. Yes, sir. You know, since you was out there, you got to go to a few of the races out there. But, Reverend, we'll get together and talk about all that, and I think that'll be a really good show. You know, we can just roundtable it and let everybody throw their opinions out there. But, Reverend, you got the floor. Go ahead and let everybody know where they can follow you in on social media and your website.
Absolutely. Our website is ontrackwithjesus.org. My email is ontrackwithjesus@aol.com. And you can reach me by phone anytime at 951-232-7630. Always glad to speak with you, explain things to you. You know, we post the scripture every day as we follow through the Bible. And if you have questions about it or doubts or whatever, please give me a call, send me an email. Love to discuss it with you. I wish you all a great holiday season, those that we don't hear from in the next couple of weeks. And let's all get refueled for next season. God bless you all.
God bless you too, Reverend. And if you want to throw out there, I don't want to put you on the spot. You know, I talked about settling. I mean, I don't know if you want to let everybody know your recent catch.
Yes, you're right. I caught this beautiful lady at Phoenix International Raceway, actually, and we're engaged, and things are looking great, and Betty and I are looking forward to a long life together, and it's a wonderful thing, and she's a wonderful lady, so things are going to be a little bit different in 2016. I'll still be around doing the same things, but I'll have somebody right next to me doing them with me.
I didn't know if you'd really let that out, Rev, but I wanted to let you make the call. Anyway, thanks again. Congratulations, and our support and from everybody here at the Pit Stop Radio and Stay With Dodgers Radio Network, wish y'all a happy life.
Thank you so much. God bless you guys. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. God bless you too, Reverend. See you, bud.
Take care.
All right. That was our good friend, Reverend, of the show, Steve. I mean, he stays right there with everything. But just let everybody know, our guest coming up at the bottom of the hour. Where did I put it? We've got Jody Harrell. She is the director of corporate and social events at the newly built Autobahn Indoor Speedway there in Birmingham. And I'm telling you, Stephen, whenever you and AM come down for the race next spring here in Dayton, we've got to go over and check it out. But she's coming on at the bottom of the hour, and you know, like I thought out there, we're going to talk a little bit about what to expect this weekend. I know you know all the events going on there at the Wynn Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series Awards Banquet and all that stuff. But, Stephen, I'm going to let you have the floor. I know you got a few some news out of NASCAR and maybe some stuff. I know we had some crew chief changes since we last talked last Tuesday.
Yeah, I guess we'll just start with the first thing that came out today. Senior Vice President of Competition, Robert Pemberton, who's been with NASCAR since 2004, will leave NASCAR at the end of 2000 for saying, boys have at it. He has been with NASCAR, as I said, since 2014, but has been in the sport for nearly five decades in some capacity of a racing career. So he's had a long, long career in the sport. He's also been part of the Research and Development Center, which has brought on the transition of the electronic fuel injection as well as the Sunoco E15 racing fuel, as well as the Gen 6 car and some of the other advancements that we've had in the sport over the last couple of years since he's taken on a competition role over there at the R&D Center, especially since NASCAR has brought that, really brought that online in the last about 5 to 8 years or so with that car tomorrow that they brought on. So Robin Premerden will leave the sport at the end of 2015. So he's been a part of this sport and was arguably one of these guys that when NASCAR brought him on, coming from a crew chief's perspective, he's one of those guys that was able to catch the cheaters. And I say that lightly because of the fact that you have to bring these guys on because in order to advance the sport, you have to have very creative minds. And Robin Premerden was one of these guys that definitely had a very creative mind. And you have to look outside the gray areas in the rule book. And I'm not saying that, what he did was right or wrong or indifferent, because many of these guys do so throughout their careers to make their cars faster. You take any guy in the garage and that's their job. And Robin was one of these guys that had a very creative mind in the racing community to make cars go very much faster, bend the rules, find the gray areas, and do things to a car that had probably not been seen since the likes of and some of the other drivers that had that had not been in the sport in a long time. So definitely with Robin being gone from this sport will be a world of difference in seeing who comes up and steps into his shoes over the next couple of years.
Yeah, and Stephen, I've been very fortunate enough, just like you too. You got to speak with Robin and Premerden, and I have too. Suzanne has too. Just a real class act. He takes time out to talk to the media. Like some stuff, like we asked him, I asked him a question one time here at Talladega. I don't forget what it was, but Christy King was standing there with him, and he answered me the correct answer. And Christy said, shouldn't you have answered it like this? They don't want to get everything out, but Robin's a real class act, done a ton for the sport. And as you would say, I wish he was staying, because he's a real asset to NASCAR, Steve.
He most definitely is, and especially taking over the R&D center and being able to build these cars, and especially from a competition level. Coming from somebody that had been around in a career coming all the way, in his career starting all the way back in the 70s, I believe it was, with Petty Enterprises, and working his way all the way through before retiring out of that and joining NASCAR in 2004. So he's a guy that you definitely want to have around in building the new generations of cars, moving the sport forward, and just having that technical background in that R&D center, because those are the guys that you need to have in place that when you're building these cars, not only in the sake of safety concerns, but in the sake of competition too, because it's guys that have been in the garage that have built these cars from the ground up that can build a performance vehicle to go out there on the racetrack and make these cars as competitive as possible, not only for the drivers themselves standpoint, but from the fans that are watching it each and every week.
Exactly. And Stephen, before I get into some of the events, especially the Betty Jane France and Mary Taryn Award, they're gonna announce that one at the Wynn Friday night. Would you like to? I know you had posted some stuff on your site about Denny Hamlin having his knee surgery. Would you like to let all the fans get up to date or up on that and what all exactly went on when he had his surgery? I think it was a successful surgery.
Yeah, Denny Hamlin, as everybody knows, over this season and last season, earlier this season, he's had a continual issue with his knees. But earlier in this season, he was playing a basketball game outside of his normal racing duties, and he twisted up his knee a little bit and was able to get back into the car and race. Forgive me because I don't remember the particular race that he got back in. Forgive me on that. But he did go throughout the rest of the season, and he did. This was yesterday. He underwent surgery for his knee that had been giving him some trouble from the basketball game that he had twisted up a little bit earlier on in the season.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know if we mentioned it last week, Steve. I mean, you know, Jeff Gordon. I'm not going to say the retiring word. You know, everybody keeps going to say Jeff retiring. He's not retiring. He's stepping out of the Sprint Cup car. He's going to the Fox booth. And he's, you know, he mentioned he's probably going, he might want to race a truck at Eldora. I mean, he might even step in the Indy car. We don't know. But, you know, Jeff Gordon had that bad wreck with the inside wall at Texas, Fort Worth there. I don't remember. Was it a couple of years ago? You know, he's got back problems. Have you heard anything if Jeff might be going to have back surgery, or do you think all that's sort of been pushed aside and everything's healed?
You know, that I'm not quite sure of, but, you know, that was a contributing factor that Jeff weighing in on why he got out of the car this year. Jeff has, just like, again, here Denny Hamlin, had some back spasm issues in his back. And it just got too tough for him to be able to continue weekly being in and out of that car. Not to say that he's in poor health, that he couldn't continue on. But I think Jeff got to the point where he felt like, you know, a continual too much in that car. And you don't want to become to a point where you just can't have a quality of life. You need to be able to get out of that car and go out on top. And Jeff knew it was time, and with his back problems compounding the issue, that definitely was a contributing factor from a lot of different sources on one of his considerations of getting out of the car this year. So I have not heard on when or if or when it will happen, but I'm sure that will be a decision left up to him.
Yeah, and you know, since we've done jumped off on the medical issues here, you know, our good friend Jay Havens up there in South Boston, you know, he always raced that late model there at South Boston Speedway. You know, he had to, we've had him on the show, I think, twice. He had to get out of the car because he had back issues, and the doctor told him that he had to get out of the car. And you know about back stuff because you've got back problems. I had back surgery in 2009. I mean, it's just, whenever you go mess with that back, bud, it's just hard to get over with.
Yeah, it is. And when you have to sit in a race car for, you know, 3.5-4 hours every single weekend for 38 weeks a year, not including testing and practice and qualifying and everything else that comes throughout the weekend, it does eventually take a toll on you. It comes a time where you have to make a decision. And unfortunately, when we start talking about Denny Hamlin, has had continual health problems, not only with his back, but his knees and his neck. He's had neck spasms, he's had back problems, and he's had, here again, another knee surgery. This is several surgeries that he's had in the last couple of years to work on various different problems that he's had. You know, at some point, Denny's going to have to make these considerations too. At what point those considerations are going to be made is going to have to be left entirely up to him on when these issues become too severe that he's not going to be able to get in and out of that race car. Obviously, we saw at Bristol earlier this year, we had a back spasm where he had a neck spasm issue, and there was a rain delay, and they had to fly Eric Jones back in to take the car over. You know, Denny's going to have to make those same considerations again. We saw where Joey Logano and him got in got together at Auto Club Speedway last year in 2014, and he was out for several weeks because of the same similar issues yet again. Now, those are compounding and considerating factors on what all occurred, but still, at some point, Denny will have to go through the same scenario that, that Jeff has gone through, and whether it's today or tomorrow or 5 years down the road, you know, we'll see the same thing out of Denny Hamlin, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately we will. I think too, Steve. And just throw this out there, you know, this is our opinions. You know, our opinions don't mean nothing. This is mine and Steven's opinions. But just to bring this up, you know, Austin Terry, he had a ton there in Vegas when you know, when we had John West Stanley, you know, won that race. Austin Terrio, he hit the wall so hard, Steven. They said it broke the straps on his Honda device.
It did. It broke the straps on his Honda device, and they also had some. They also took his helmet back for some testing also, because they saw some issues with his helmet. He eventually had some cracked vertebrae in his back, which that kept him out of the truck for quite some time, and he was able to return finally at Homestead. So he was out from September-ish time frame all the way until late November. Now, he's a fairly young guy, and this is the first issue that he's had, but those are factors that, you know, we see all the time in racing in general. This just isn't just Austin Terrio or Denny Hamlin or Jeff Gordon that we're talking about. This happens at, you know, your local racetrack. This happens in ARCA. This happens in NHRA drag racing. This happens in every motorsports, you know, sanctioning event across the nation, across the country, across the world. You know, racing is an inherently dangerous sport. We can only do but so much to make these vehicles as safe as possible, give these drivers as many pieces of safety equipment as possible. But unfortunately, at the end of the day, you know, as we always say, racing is an inherently dangerous sport, and if it can happen, it will happen.
Exactly, Stephen. And coming up here on the bottom of the hour, you know, we're getting close. We got Jody from Audubon Indoor Speedway. But the number to call in is 215-333-3681. I'm Tim Spain, alongside my good friend, CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com, Stephen Wilson. And Stephen, you also posted on your site today, you know, NASCAR season concludes with most watched finale since 2005. I mean, man, Robin Pemberton done that whole bunch done awesome. Would you like to give out some of the numbers there on the Homestead Miami Speedway stuff there?
Yeah, you know, when we came into Homestead Miami Speedway. We've always heard across the entire year that NASCAR ratings have sagged throughout the year since NBC and Fox have taken over. Even back in the days of ESPN, we were always talking about week in and week out about ratings sagging. But the funny thing is that the final week here in Homestead, Miami, viewership actually increased year over year. We had almost 12.5 million viewers watched the season finale. Kyle Busch win the championship there at Homestead Miami Speedway. That is a huge increase. Normally we're only in the single million digits, usually in the 3 to 5 million range, with the Daytona 500 being a little different. Usually they're somewhere in the 8, 9, 10, 11 million range. It's usually a little different because obviously it's the first race of the year. It's considered our Super Bowl of the sport. But typically throughout the entire year, you know, we only have anywhere from 3 to 5 million on average watching a race. But we did peak at almost 12.5 million viewers watching Kyle Busch win that championship. So I think that goes to the fact of not only has the chase, as we've talked a couple times before, done exactly as what it has designed to do. It was designed to bring the viewership in, to bring the people in to want to watch a race, And we saw a packed grandstand, too, a sold-out grandstand. Unfortunately, I'm sure some of those people probably didn't attend because it did rain a good majority of the day. And unfortunately, I'm sure some of those people did stay home. But it was a good day all in all. NASCAR also did reach 4.1 billion social media impressions and 1.1 billion page views on their NASCAR media website this year.
That is awesome, Stephen. I mean, you know, maybe everything's trying to come together. But I know you don't watch my social media stuff much on Facebook, but I get a lot of, I'm not going to call it hate stuff, but a lot of suggestions and stuff. And there's a lot of people that's been saying, which I got one today, I'm not going to call no names because they might be listening, but this person said, I mean, you know, that stat's not true, and he said he wants his old NASCAR back. Well, I mean, you go back to, I can understand maybe go back. I mean, this is opinion, like I say, he wants his old NASCAR back. I mean, man, how can you not enjoy the chase and going to Miami Homestead Speedway, and you got four drivers that the first one to the damn start finish line is going to win a championship? How can you not love it?
Well, I mean, I'm the first to admit that I think some of those old races in NASCAR were some of the most competitive of their day. You take a look at some of the Allisons, the Yarboroughs, the Earnhardts, the Petties of their day, beating and banging the rough and tumble. I will probably agree that some of those are probably the best races that you could ever watch in the NASCAR world. But my opinion to that is, unfortunately, is do you really want to crown a champion 3-4 races before the end of the year?
Exactly. That's my thoughts too.
I mean, what's the point? What's the point of finishing out a season? I mean, that would be like baseball crowning a champion in August, or football crowning their Super Bowl champion in the middle of November. It makes no sense. It's like saying that we put a schedule together and we've already crowned a champion before the end of the year. NASCAR was one of those sports that, unfortunately, that's the way that the point structure worked for over 30, you know, over 50 years. You know, it was unfortunate that it worked like that. But NASCAR fixed that because NASCAR fans made it inherently clear that tired of seeing a champion crowned 2, 3, 4 races ahead of time. Back in the day, we would go to Atlanta and 3 races prior, we already had a champion. Or Rockingham would be the second to the last race, and we already had a champion. So NASCAR fans made it clear they didn't want to see that anymore. NASCAR changed the rules. NASCAR fixed the problem. And now NASCAR fans complain because now we go to Homestead Miami Speedway with 4 people vying for a championship, 4 drivers that can win a championship, 4 drivers that have to go to the very last lap and take the checkered flag to win a championship, and they still complain. I don't know how to answer that argument.
I don't either, Stephen. But I wanted to get your thoughts on it there. I mean, you know, I'm not, you know, like I said, I'm not gonna call my game no names. And you know, I know you got SiriusXM NASCAR Channel 92. You know, you listen, I listen, and some of them people that call into Dave Moody, I mean, you know, Dave, I see why Moody sometimes loses it. I mean, you know, my goodness. I mean, they just come up with some of the off-the-wall ideas. I mean, you know, we've talked about this road. We've beat this horse dead, talking about a road course in the race. I mean, we've beat that to death. But you've got logistics. You've got everything. I mean, there's just so much that goes into that. But, I mean, I'm like you, Stephen. You can't make everybody happy. There's no way. You're not going to make everybody happy. And I think through the years, you know, like you had said earlier, you know, Robin Pemberton leaving the sport, which, I mean, you know, Robin Pemberton had been in there a long time, but Robin done a hell of a job, brought everything up through there. And I don't know what to do to make everybody happy. I guess it's, you know, we're not a politically correct show, I don't reckon, Steve.
No, we're not exactly politically correct, but, you know, at the same time, you know, you can't necessarily make people happy. You know, NASCAR does the best job that they can week in and week out. Unfortunately, you just can't make everybody happy, and this just isn't a NASCAR problem. I'm not saying that it's just a NASCAR problem. This is an every sport problem, and I think this is a millennial generational problem. This is an instantaneous gratification problem, which we've discussed in detail several times before, where, you know, the short attention spans, the grab on to the whatever it is here and now and run with it, and tomorrow there's a new topic or whatever it may be to be offended by or to be, you know, irritated by. And tomorrow there'll be a different topic that we're going to slam NASCAR on because we don't like that they did this. They put a decal in the wrong spot, or they did this, or they did that. And you can't criticize and condemn and complain NASCAR for everything that they do, because they do the best that they can week in, week out. They can't control the weather. They can't control everything. They do the best they can. They build the race cars the best they can. You take a look at the problems that, you know, even we've discussed with the mile and a half racetracks. We all will agree that they're probably some of the most boring races that we're ever going to watch on TV. They're some of the most boring races that you're ever going to go watch at the racetrack. Unfortunately, they're also some of the lowest attended races that are on the circuit. Well, NASCAR came up with a solution with a low downforce package, and look at what it did at Kentucky. It was probably the best race at a mile and a half racetrack that we've seen in 20 years. It's arguably the best race we've seen at a mile and a half racetrack in 20 years. And if NASCAR fans can't wait for 2016 to see what that's going to do on an entire circuit of mile and a half racetracks, there again, I don't know what to tell you. I only think I can tell you is turn TV off and find something else to watch.
Exactly. That's what I'm fixing to say. If you don't like it, don't watch it. Quit griping and posting stuff on my social media pages. If you don't like it, don't watch it. Stephen, we got our guest here at the bottom of the hour. We've got Jody Harrell, Director of Corporate and Social Events, Audubon Indoor Speedway in Birmingham, Alabama. Let's bring Jody into the pit stop with Tim Spain and Stephen Wilson.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Jody, how you doing tonight, sweetie?
I'm good. I will say that is the most welcomed I've ever felt on a radio show before.
Well, thank you very much. We always like to bring everybody in with a bang, don't we, Steve?
I can see.
Yeah, we try to at least.
Jody, I want to thank you for time taking out of your busy schedule to come on the show. But I want to thank you again, which I've already thanked Tyler Super Speedway, the big media event that y'all put on over there, and I got to come and join in, and got to race against Timothy Peters and Daniel Henry. I don't think you got in the car, but we got to race with the media. Got to race with Carly and the lady from 42 Sports. I mean, it was really awesome. I want to thank y'all for taking care of us. We had a blast.
No problem. We really appreciate you guys coming out. We're glad that we could contribute to everything you guys had going on, and hopefully it was a kickoff to the season for you guys.
Oh, it was. Thank you very much, Joe. And, Jody, I'm on I talked to you a ton over there. I've already talked about the different cars and stuff, but if you want to throw out there right quick before I hand you over to Stephen Wilson, CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com, throw out there real quick. I know you said you had some events coming up before Christmas and New Year's.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We're averaging right now about 8 to 10 corporate events every week. We do a lot of group outings, but our whole thing is corporate events, team building events. We have so many different things for corporations to get out there and increase morale and motivation and team spirit. So it's more than just the racing, just the fun, fast racing. We have everything from a blindfold challenge to disc golf. So it's just a fun place to get away and do something different that Birmingham's never had before. So it's something different. It's fun, and everybody likes speed, and that's our whole thing. There's no speed limit.
Exactly. Because the next day, whenever I got up, I was sore as a rider.
We had
a blast, Jody. I'm sorry, go
ahead. It's intense. It really is intense. I tell people during the safety briefing, I'm like, you know, you're scheduled to go out three times. You have your practice race, you have your qualifying race, and then your final race. But after those races, you're going to be hobbling over to the winner's circle. It's so much. It's a little bit of a workout, but that just tells you how much power our cars have. You know, it's not your typical go-kart, and we actually hate to use the word go-kart. We've coined the term racing kart because it's more of a car than it is a go-kart. These cars are fast, 50 miles an hour, so some people are sore the next day. But it's a fun sport. It's a good way to get out there and not only, you know, be competitive, but it's a workout.
Oh, definitely, because I realized it. I was definitely so when I think Russell Brown there from Talladega Super Speedway, public race director there, he told me that somebody was fishing the black flag, me and Peters. Me and Timothy Peters got a little rough there toward the end.
Yeah. It's funny how all the black flags, the people save it up until the last lap, and that's when you start seeing those black flags because they use it to their advantage. You get black flagged two times, you're getting thrown out. Last lap, you start seeing those black flags being thrown because the longer you're in it, the more competitive you get. And, you know, people just start really letting loose and going after each other.
Exactly. And, Jody, while I got this on my mind before I throw you over to Stephen, would you like to talk a little bit about the safety aspect that y'all have built into the, I call them carts, into the carts, like where if somebody spins out and they can't get back going, everything automatically shuts down?
Oh, yeah. So we have the complete control of the speed. We have four guys around the track the entire time the race is going on. So you have your flag marshal, and then we have our three safety guys around the track. And then we have the control there. So if something's not going quite right, we can either slow you down to gear one, gear two, gear three. Gear four would be full throttle. But just depending on what it is that we need to slow you down for, you know, if there's the caution flag that's being thrown out there, a penalty flag, we'll slow you down. We'll either stop you once everything's back to normal, then we'll put you back in full throttle. But we're all about safety here. I mean, it's fun. Our cars go fast. But number one, we just want to make sure everybody not only has a good time, but they're safe because there's so much power behind these cars, and the people don't realize that. So you get out there and you want to have a good time, but you got to make sure that safety's first. So our carts, each of our carts are approximately $12,000 in from Italy. I mean, it's state-of-the-art carts. So everything about them is all embraced in the safety of the passenger. So that's something that's very important to us, and that's why it's important for everyone to know what the flags mean, watch out for each other, and to play it safe, and be more focused on the speed than it really is hitting each other or doing whatever you can to get in front. And I try to stress to people that it's not a position race. You're actually racing the clock. You have those 14 laps to get to your best lap time. It's not who gets to the finish line first.
Exactly, Jody. And, well, like I said, I got some more questions, too. But, you know, you and I talked over there. But I'm going to throw you over to a good friend, COSpeedwayDigest.com up in Richmond, Virginia. I'm sure he got a bunch of questions. Steven.
Well, I hope that y'all at least black flag Tim at least once or twice because he needs a spot, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, we're not afraid to black flag. If we have the black flag, we will. It wouldn't be the first time on him.
Oh, and Stephen, right fast, but right fast before, I want to throw this out there to Jody before I forget. Jody, Stephen and his wife, Ann Marie, they're going to come down for the spring race in Talladega. They're going to fly in from Richmond. So I'm pretty sure I'll have to bring them over there before the race. Okay,
yeah,
y'all go ahead.
Yeah, you definitely got to come out and try it.
Yeah, well, I can tell you I've never done one of these things, so I don't know much about how these things are. So you're gonna have to learn me a little bit on how these things run. But for those that don't understand these carts, and I've seen them run, but I've never actually driven one of these in a closed course situation that you guys have going on out there. What is the typical track length that you guys are running out there?
It's an eighth of a mile track, and we have several different tracks. The one that we have in Birmingham is the Monaco track, so it's a little bit curvier than our other ones, and a lot of people like it. It's actually one of the favorites of our owners because it requires you to really think about how to make those turns. It's a little bit more complex than the ones that are more straightaways. So a lot more turns, a lot more hairpins there, a little bit more complex. But it is eighth of a mile, and it's approximately, it takes, you know, about 12 to 13 minutes for each race.
You were talking a little bit about these things, you know, about 50 miles an hour around this track. What's your fast times out there, and what's your typical times around it?
So my fast time, well, like I said, we just reconstructed the track. They were running, average time was 26 seconds, but since we've made that little construction to that hairpin, it has reduced the times by 3 seconds. So on average, people are running 21 seconds, 22 seconds. If you get it in 21 seconds, you're doing really good, and you're going to qualify for the league. And that's really when it gets competitive. I'm running 22.5 right now, and, you know, it's fun because the employees will get out there, and we're constantly battling each other. But then we also have our regulars that get out there, and that's what it's all about. Every time you get out on that track, you're trying to beat that time you had before. So you can get out there, you can race your friends, your family, but what it comes down to at the end of the day is you want to beat that time that you had last. And that's why it's such a great sport, because you're constantly trying to beat yourself and do better and better each time. And it's very strategic, because you have to know which line to go. I mean, a special line. You have to know when to use your brake, when not to. So it's a very complex sport, which makes it so fun. Each time is different.
A lot of drivers, up-and-coming drivers, and especially drivers that start off in the sport, they start off in go-karts, especially as very young kids. When you start talking about that, do you guys start leagues for kids out there that will get them integrated into racing style, or is this more of a just a competitive one-on-one style corporate event type of atmosphere?
Well, it just depends on the person. It's funny you said that. And we actually have a lot of dads call in for their children, and they say, hey, I see talent in my child. I don't know if it's talent in them or their child, but regardless, they see something in their child, or they see what they want their child to do. And this is the best way to go about it. The best way to start out is to get them on this track. You know, it's a good way for intermediate drivers to learn the carts, and they learn how the cart reacts to each turn and to the track. And, you know, it's almost a natural thing. Like, either you have it or you don't. So you get your child out there, and they're either going to love it or they're going to be like, okay. But the thing is, it's such an addicting sport. So usually we get these kids out there, and they have so much eagerness to get out and beat their time, and, you know, their dad's so excited for them, and then they're able to get their race results at the end of each race. And that's what's so great about it, is you're able to see the printed results. So each lap, you're able to see what your time was. And we're also based on a point system, which is so great about our software. So you get points for passing people. You get points for going the right way, the line around the certain curve. And you'll get deductive points hitting the sides and all. But it's almost like a video game. And that appeals to younger kids. Oh, it's a video game. There's point system and all that. So it really appeals to the younger generation, especially if they have something for the racing industry. So it's a good way to get involved and to get started in that whole field is the racing cards.
Well, Jody, I appreciate you taking the time to come on. I'm going to throw you back over to Tim. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you.
All right. thanks, David. And excuse me, Jody. Just want to throw this out there. Y'all got the big screen up there, you know, and whenever we was racing, you know, you could actually look up and see your lap times. But, Stephen, I just want to let you know to wear a helmet, and you have to wear that head thing. But, anyway, it is a climate-controlled environment. They do have air conditioning there, and it is super nice. But you put that helmet on, it gets a little bit warm, you know, because you ain't got no cool box coming in there to blow on top of you, on top of your dog in there. But if you raise your that clear visor to get you some air, tell them, Jody, you might get a piece of rubber in your eye like I did.
Well, I don't know. I think you may have been the only one that's had that happen to. But you never know. And our helmets, they are DOT approved, and they have the face mask. So, and then you also have the headstock that you put on. That's all part of it. It's all part of the experience. You got to play it safe. You got to wear the helmet. And I don't really know what happened with your situation, but you got to wear that helmet though.
Well, I was sort of running behind the NASCAR Temple World Truck Series winner that following weekend here at Dega, so I'm pretty sure he knew a lot more about it than Peters. But
I think so.
Just to touch a little bit about, I know they can go to the website and look, but I mean, y'all have tables set up. And actually, you know, whenever I come in, I had to sign in, and I've got my Autobahn driver's license. I've got a actual hard card Autobahn driver's license. So I'm approved. Y'all actually take our picture. And just to throw this out there, after, you know, we run all our heat laps, we run the race. And, Stephen, just throw this out, and they get your email address, and they also email you your lap time. Am I correct, Jody?
Mm-hmm. You're correct, yeah. So you'll get a print-off after each race, but they will also email it to you. I mean, that's how serious we take it. I mean, and that's why I love Audubon, because we're so professional with everything. You're talking about the picture, the license. You come there, it's so professional. Everything's so organized. You get there, you register at the kiosk. You come up to the front, we're going to take your picture. You have that annual license that you have for a whole year. And every time you come there, you can add races to that license that you have. And then you also get discounts and all our specials and promotions that are going on since your email just by being a member and having that license. So we're able to keep track, and you're able to keep track, too, of your time just by having that card, and that's having your email on file.
Okay, and so next spring when Stephen and Anne-Marie come down and Suzanne and I, we all come over, if Stephen wrecks me, can we revoke his license?
Yeah, we will look into that. How many black flags has he had?
Stephen's never been on it, but Russell told me that they was fixing to get me and Peters both of us when we were racing in that main. I mean, you know, I kept saying, you know, faster car, I'm faster. You know, he wasn't the flagman telling him to move over, but you know how the NASCAR Cup Camp 4 Truck Series drivers are. They ain't going to move.
Yeah. You NASCAR guys. Yeah.
That's right. But, Jody, thank you very much. I know your time limit, like I keep saying, but like I said, Steve Wilson's coming down. We'll definitely get over there. I know Suzanne's going to come early. She's wanting to come over. I think we might come maybe one weekend before Christmas because our meteorologist, Megan Thomas, she didn't get to come on tonight. She's a little bit under the weather. She wants us to come over and tour the new ABC 3340 studio. So we might make the end of it and swing by there and talk to Megan and tour the studio and coming over and visit y'all at the Autobahn Speedway there in Bessemer. Would you like to let everybody know exactly where it is, the website, and everything that they can follow and go and look? I mean, it's a real neat website, Steve, if you go on there and look. They got everything detailed. They got the prices. Go ahead, Joe. You got to pull.
Yeah, so definitely check us out. Our website is autobahnspeed.com. So far we have 7 locations, and as soon as one goes up, we have another one going up. The demand is high, and people just love this. It's something different, something fun for the family, something fun for, you know, corporate events and team outings and team building. So we really just have it all there. And we'd love to entertain guests. We have a huge meeting room that holds up to 70 people, tables and chairs, projector system, audio system. So it's a great way to, you know, bring people of your company out, or if you just want to bring your kids out, your family out, good for gift cards with the holidays coming up. It's a great way to, you know, fill those stockings. You don't know what to get that special person that has everything, then, you know, give them a gift card. Everybody loves to race. So just visit us on autobahnspeed.com. That's autobahnspeed.com. And once you go to that site, you'll see all the different locations that we have up and running, and you'll just click on the one that's near you. In this case, it would be Birmingham, and it would tell you all everything that each one entails and that we have to offer. And the one closest, the one that I work at and the one that's closest to Talladega is the Birmingham location, and that's the one that's in Bessemer, Alabama. So you'll actually get on 459. Get off on exit 6 in Bessemer, and it's on Greenwood Parkway, and you can't miss it. It's a huge warehouse on to the fourth building on the left of Greenwood Parkway. We're open pretty much we're even open on Christmas Day. So anytime you get in the mood for racing, we're ready to go. We're open Monday through Thursday, 11 to 10 o'clock, Friday and Saturday, 10 to midnight, and then Sunday from 10 to 10 p.m. And anybody can come out ages 8 to 12, as long as you're 48 inches. And then for our adult carts, we have 12 and up, as long as you're 56 inches. So come out and play. It's a lot of fun. And I'll tell you right now, you can't do it just one time. It's addicting. You'll have a lot of fun.
Exactly. That's what I told. That's what I told Suzanne. And I want to remind you about this. Family environment, no alcohol, correct?
No alcohol, but, you know, we have partnerships with a couple of restaurants and bars around us that if you want to continue the celebration, we have an award ceremony after each event, trophies and medals. And if you want to go somewhere after that and celebrate, we teamed up with Depot Brady's. You can actually take your race results to them, get a free beer. But we don't allow alcohol on the premises. I mean, here's the thing, though. You're in there to race. You're in there to have a good time. You're having so much fun racing. The last thing in your mind is alcohol. All you're thinking about is beating your buddy. So you can continue the celebration at any, the bars around there. But we just want you to come out and race and have a good time and see how fast these cars go.
Yeah. And Jody, again, thank you for letting Talladega Super Speedway and the local media come over and have that. But I had a blast. And like I said, Suzanne and I, we'll probably be seeing you in a couple of weeks or so. But if you want to throw up, well, you don't. The only social media you have is Facebook. But anyway, Jody, thank you very much. Keep in touch. Tell everybody we said hello from the Pit Stop Radio and Speedway Digest. And keep in touch. We'll definitely get you back on again.
Sounds good, Tim. Well, it was nice being in touch with you, and I'll be looking for you guys to come out and race. And it was great tuning in. If y'all have any questions, just go to our website, or either just reach out to me. You can reach out to me. My email address is birminghamevents@autobahnspeed.com. All right.
There you go. Y'all can check Jody out. Jody, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Tim.
And if I need something from you, I got your cell phone number. I'll just give you a call.
Sounds good. All right. Well, y'all have a good night, and thanks again.
You're welcome, Jody. See you, sweetie.
Okay, see
you. See you, bud. Okay, Stephen, coming up here on top of the hour. We've got our good friend, Todd Bigsby. He's been sitting back here on hold. Let's we hadn't talked to him in a couple of weeks. You wanna bring let's bring Todd on, see what he has to say about the final race there at Homestead Miami Speedway.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Todd, where you been hiding, bud? We ain't heard nothing out of you. Did you finally crawl out from the rock?
Well, you know, I'm up here near the Canadian border. And, Stephen, yesterday it was 16 degrees, and I thought about you.
Ooh, Stephen Wilson. That's cold.
Yeah, no. You can keep that snow right on up there. I don't need that.
Yeah, I kind of figured you'd say that.
Well, you know, Todd, I'm going to go ahead and rub it in. Suzanne, I already made Stephen mad. We went to Gulf Shores for Thanksgiving, and it was, I think the high about every day was 75, 76. Lows didn't get but like 62, 3. So I'll throw that back at you. I got it back for you, Stephen.
Well, as long as you guys had a good time and you enjoyed yourself, you know, that's what counts.
That's right, exactly, Todd. Todd, we haven't talked to you since Miami Homestead, the Ford Eco Boost 400 Championship weekend. What do you think about Kyle Busch winning the championship, bud?
I think it's great. You know, I mean, after everything that man went through, and be able to pull out a championship, right there goes the title. That is a team, a driver that was bound and determined to do everything he could to pull that championship, and I'm really happy he was able to.
Yeah, I am too. And Todd, we're gonna call a little short for tonight. But do you have a question or two for Stephen?
Now, Stephen, for next year. We all know there's going to be a lot of changes. What's the biggest change you think we're going to see for next year?
I think the biggest changes that we're going to see next year is the low downforce package that we brought to Darlington and we brought to Kentucky Speedway. With the cars, the way that they performed at those two tracks this year, is going to make a world of difference, especially when we get back to tracks that have normally not been what we would consider thriller races. When you take a look at tracks like Las Vegas or even Auto Club Speedway or Texas, those are going to be the tracks I think that this year, 2016, are going to be very impressive. They're going to be more along in the lines of what we saw at Kentucky this year or Darlington. There may be a little bit of a learning curve, especially in 2016, but I do think that the year-over-year in the competition level, the passing level, and what we see on the racetrack as far as the cars are concerned, that's gonna be our biggest change next year with the cars themselves. As far as the drivers are concerned, I don't think we're going to see much of a difference within the drivers themselves. I do believe that Kevin Harvick is just going to continue right along doing what he has for the last 2 years at Stewart Haas Racing. He doesn't show any signs of slowing down right now. They're continuing to keep Ronnie Childers with him as a crew chief. Daniel Canos is moving up into a leadership level over there, and they've got an engineering team right now that is right there behind them. So I think it was Stewart Haas Racing and Kurt Busch and Kevin Harvick, those two are going to continue to dominate and lead the way over there for those guys. And Penske Racing is definitely going to continue leading the Ford camp. But those are not going to be the change. As far as I think some of the changes within the driver's level, I think it's really going to depend on where the rookies are. You've got Chase Elliott and you've got Brian Blaney who are going to run for the Rookie of the Year with Road Brothers and the Hendrick Motorsports. those two drivers, you know, with Chase Elliott, he's definitely going to be under the gun next year, especially with the media watching over him like they are. He's going to have to tackle that, and I think that's going to be hard for him. It's with as much media limelight that he's going to be under, and he's going to have to be able to contend with that while running for a rookie of the year. He's not had as much experience in a Sprint Cup car that Ryan Blaney has. Ryan Blaney has much more experience handling these cars on many different styles of racetracks. So I foresee that Ryan Blaney may be the Rookie of the Year champion next year.
Yeah. I mean, Ryan Blaney is a good driver. I mean, but I was kind of curious, you know, for what you would going to think the biggest changes were. I know come for Watkins Glen for next year, that might be a little bit tricky, so we're going to see how well that one plays.
Yeah, with a repave that they have going on at Watkins Glen, that's going to change the track a little bit. It's not going to change the track in the fact I think that we're going to have drivers such as AJ Allmendinger and Tony Stewart and other drivers that come from that racing background that are going to be able to continue their dominance at those styles of track. You may have some surprises there, but we'll have to see what a complete repave really does at Watkins Glen.
Well, I'll tell you, for opening weekend that they do at Watkins Glen, I will be sure to get you some pictures and give you my experience on the new Pavely track.
All right. Well, make sure you run about 100 mile an hour around the track and let me know how that new asphalt holds up for you.
Well, you know, as much as, you know, I'd love to just be able to put that pedal down. We have a 55-mile-an-hour speed limit, but if I could, you know I would.
I know. I'm just joking. But, yeah, I think Watkins Glen may be it's going to be a little different track, especially with a repave, a new asphalt on that track. That track hasn't been paved in, what, 20-something years?
Yeah, I think 20.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been quite some time since that track has been repaved, so it's going to be a different style racetrack, especially for some of these teams that are going to have to really go back into that notebook and going to have to see what these cars are going to do out there.
Well, I appreciate you taking time to answer questions for me, bud.
Not a problem. You just keep that snow up there, though.
I knew that was coming. All right. Todd, we appreciate you, bud. Build a fire and stay warm, and we'll talk to you next week, bud.
Okay.
All right, see you, Todd. That's our good friend. Upstate New York, there is home tracks, Watkins Glen. All right, Steve, let's go ahead and wind it up, bud. Let everybody go out there where everybody can follow you at on social media and your website.
You can follow us on Twitter at Speedway Digest, facebook.com/Speedway Digest, and SpeedwayDigest.com.
All right, Stephen, that was good. Next week, I got a guess. I can't remember who it is. I ain't got my calendar right here with me. But anyway, Stephen, tell AM and the boys we said hello, and we're going to see. I'm going to play a song out here, and we're going to run it out. Good night from Talladega, Alabama.
A little, don't worry, be happy. And it-